The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Heyo!
Yeah, I know. I'm ripping someone else off. Hey, it's the Box Score Breakdown presented by Hoop Ball. You is Scotty. I am your host. You can find me on Twitter at TheHarlander23. My co-host, he's not here today, Mr. J. You can find him on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. As I said, we are presented by Hoop Ball, and they are a fantastic website. They've got some pretty fantastic stuff. And if you aren't a premium subscriber, you should. The Fantasy Pass is something they have. It's the best deal in the industry at $4.99 a month. And now that we're into the regular season, there is zero commitment. So you can sign up for 1 month for just $5. If you don't like it, you can cancel at any time. But you know what? We know you'll love it, but it's always nice to, I guess, have that option. The Fantasy Pass is everything you'll need to dominate all year, updating projections, new fantasy appraiser tools, schedule and streaming charts, pickups and drops, and our newest and coolest feature, the Hoop Ball Discord server, where you can hang out with all the hoop ball pros like Mr. J and my guest around the clock and get one-on-one help with your team. So please do go and check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com, click on the fantasy pass ad just below the media wall. As I said, my guest, he spends a ton of time on that Discord server helping people out with their team. He also has a waiver wire show with fellow regular guest Kingy on a Sunday night where they go through the waiver wire. Ethan Noroff, hello, mate.
How you doing, Scotty?
I'm good, man. Thanks for joining us once again. It's nice having someone who probably knows a little more about the game than me, helping guide me through these things on a somewhat regular basis. Now, as I said, you guys have got the Waiver Wire show. Have you got any advice for Waiver Wire guys who might be listening?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times early in the season, you know, people try to chase their own ass, for lack of a better way to say it. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of overcomplicating of the waiver wire and either pursue a guy that they wouldn't just because he has an extra game in the schedule, or maybe I can catch lightning in a bottle and catch him for the, you know, short term here. And just a reminder, you know, we're just a couple weeks into the season and you don't really want to jeopardize your optionality or your flexibility as the season moves forward, right? It's why teams in the NBA in reality are so hesitant to sort of commit to a locked in core unless they feel like it is the core that will fuel them forward. So optionality is your friend. Don't chase your own ass. Believe in your talent. There's a reason you drafted the players that you did. I'm tired of the Brandon Clark to the waiver wire questions. Okay. Keep with it.
Oh, look, and it's funny, you know, I get people reaching out to me and asking me about trades and stuff, and I kind of take a step back with them and say, hey, hold your horses. Why are you doing this trade? Are you making a trade for the sake of making a trade, or are you doing this to improve your team? Because that's ultimately the goal, right? So you don't go out there and just trade for the sake of trading and say, I've got all these pieces that I can trade away, hopefully for an upgrade. There's no hopefully about it. People, if you're not improving your team, don't do it.
And I think that's the reality, right? It's like, does this make my team better or does it just make it different? Because if you're gaining in two categories but you're losing in two others and those are all swing categories for you, your net is zero. So I think people, you know, they like the chance at a chance, right? Everybody likes to feel like they're sort of manipulating their way on their path toward excellence. But a lot of the times we wind up just making our teams different. So just be considerate of that, especially as you sort of manipulate your way through the waiver wire early in the season, because there is still plenty in store. And obviously this particular season is going to be weird with both injuries and all the COVID-19 stuff, including a guy like Kevin Durant. Looks like he's going to miss a week and the Nets play in their first game today without him. But look like no problem, Scotty.
Absolutely no problem. And the Nets aren't the only ones who have got problems with COVID. And we'll get to another team who has some issues around the COVID and unavailability of players. But as you said, Kevin Durant. So let's start there. the Brooklyn Nets 130 beat the Utah Jazz, the Aussie-owned Utah Jazz, as I like to remind everybody, 96, only part owned anyway. We'll start on the Utah Jazz side of things. And Don Mitch shot 10 of 22 from the field, 8 of 10 from the foul line in the loss to the Nets, accounting for 31 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 triples in 30 minutes. The game got away from the Jazz fairly early, so as a result, he didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. And Don Mitch hasn't been great to start the season. He's ranked well outside the top 100 in 9 cat formats. One of the reasons he hasn't matched his Yahoo ADP of 25 has been that poor shooting just 37.5% from the field. Hopefully, this gives him a bit of a boost. Bojan Bogdanovic shot 2 of 7 in a fallback from grace, and obviously still having some issues with that wrist injury that he had. And a big Rudy Gobert, 27 minutes in Tuesday's loss to the Nets, finishing with 10 points, shot 3 of 10 from the field, 4 of 5 from the charity stripe, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 block shots. Had a bit of a tough time up against the big fella that is Jared Allen. We'll talk about him in just a minute. But the Jazz struggled a little bit today, Ethan.
Scotty, I got to tell you, I've been really big into DFS recently, just because I like to channel my addiction through what I believe to be healthy ways anyway. So yeah. That said, we've been really heavily involved on the DFS side of things. Don't worry, we're talking low cash tournaments. And, you know, I looked at Rudy Gobert today and I said, man, this feels like a good setup for him. No Durant, you know, Allen and DeAndre Jordan's probably a matchup that he should play well against, and he's been playing well generally. And something made me switch it to Yusuf Nurkic, who we'll get to in a little while, I know, toward the last hour of lineups. And I'm glad that I did, because I thought Jared Allen's line what belonged to Rudy Gobert, but no Kevin Durant, no problem here for Brooklyn. Utah really struggled. I mean, if you take away anything, it's that Donovan Mitchell had, I guess, a good game, but, you know, he's been struggling, and big games don't mean anything when you get the doors blown off of you.
Absolutely. So the Nets side of things, we'll start with a guy who come off the bench who I think might have a little bit of an increase in productivity with Durant out, and that's Caris LeVert, who finished with 24 points, 9 of 18 from the field, 4 from 4 from the charity stripe, 1 rebound, 5 assists, 2 steal, 2 three-pointers in 21 minutes after missing his first 5 shots. Yeah, that's right. And that's a season high, 24 points for him so far for Caris LeVert. So definitely one to keep a look at. Kyrie Irving scored 18 first quarter points in Tuesday's win, with a game high 29, 12 of 19 from the field, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals and 5 triples in 30 minutes for him. Joe Harris shot 4 of 7 from the field, accounting for 10 points, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 three-pointers. And that's an interesting night, an interesting guy, while Kevin Durant's out, to certainly look at streaming him, as he'll more than likely be top 100 value in that time. But Jared Allen, 32 minutes, telling 19 points, 8 of 9 field goals, 3 of 7 from the charity stripe, 18 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and 2 block shots. DeAndre Jordan didn't get the start in this one, Allen did. But when DJ come on, he got himself in some pretty quick foul trouble early. So Jared Allen got himself doing ridiculously well and got an increase in minutes as well. He's been a top 100 player in both 8 and 9 cat formats so far. Needs to hit that 20-minute thing to continue being, you know, fantasy relevant, I guess. But if DJ's going to keep getting in foul trouble, 32 minutes a night, happy days for Jared Allen.
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, right? I think everybody who drafted Jared Allen is kind of hoping that this is something he has the opportunity to do on the regular, and the only thing really standing in his way is playing time. And foul trouble complicates that at times, but sometimes it's, you know, coach selected. But it looks like Jared Allen's going to get his opportunity here. And the fact that he was able to do this against Rudy Gobert, I mean, it just speaks to, you know, the talent level that he has. And I know anyone who drafted Jared Allen is hopeful this is a sign of things to come for sure.
Just have to pause the show for an announcement, and it's a fun one. It's free stuff, and everybody loves that free stuff. And what is it? It's the Bruise Letter. It's back, baby. Oh, yes, it's back and fresh for the 2021 NBA season. And our founder, Aaron Brewski, is writing an email newsletter filled with his most intimate fantasy nuggets. It's exclusive content you can't find anywhere else. It's not on the website. It's not on a podcast. It's not on social media. That includes the Discord channel. It's only in the email newsletter. You can sign up and get it for free. Just go to bit.ly/brewsletter2021 and brew as in coffee, your beer, B-R-E-W-S letter 2021. Sign up in 10 seconds. Again, the site is bit.ly, bit.ly/brewsletter2021. Aaron Brewski, straight to your inbox. And the next game, well, look, it was pretty tight right up until towards the end anyway. The Lakers 94, the Grizzlies 92, and AD had himself a day, a great all-round game, posting 26 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks in 34 minutes. He shot 10 from 20 from the field, attempted 10 shots from deep, something we don't see too often, I guess, from AD. He's made 4 of them, though. It was the 43rd time in AD's career that he has had 3 steals and 3 blocks in a game. That's good for 9th all time. This is the AD that we expect to get on a nightly basis, the one who's getting defensive stats and a couple of threes in addition with double-doubles. LeBron himself as well finished with 26 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He went 11 from 20 from the floor and scored 21 of his 26 points in the second half. So he started very quiet in the first 2 frames. And Kyle Kuzma got the nod to start on Tuesday, finished with just 5 points, 2 of 5 shooting in 30 minutes. Kuz is just too inconsistent, should only be held to in deeper leagues, that's for sure. So I guess, though, let's start, Ethan, with the man, the star of the show tonight, AD.
Yeah, I mean, attempting 10 three-pointers is certainly get your eyes sort of popping out of your head when you're looking at the box score. But, you know, Frank Vogel said before the season that he wanted AD to average around 5 threes per game. And so, you know, that's definitely double that mark. I don't expect the AD to obviously clip at that number every night, but if he's shooting 40% from out there, then those should be shots he's taking. That said, you know, this was one of those games where, you know, both he and LeBron, and like you alluded to or actually said outright, LeBron had 21 of his 26 in the second half. And this was one of those games where the Lakers really needed both of those efforts from those guys in order to push a pass to the finish line. It's sort of weird to sit here and, you know, talk about a team that's coming off a title that has AD, that has LeBron, and say that the Lakers are really missing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Alex Caruso right now, because those are obviously supporting pieces, but they're definitely missing those two guys. And, you know, they're sitting on top of the 6-2, and as long as the Lakers find themselves in close games, I think you can expect that production from AD, you can expect that production from LeBron. But, you know, some of the concern that sort of warded people off to begin the season in the first round of fantasy drafts on those guys was the fact that the Lakers might find themselves in some blowouts. But so far, it's been pretty smooth sailing. I mean, a little bit more so for LeBron, I would say, than for AD. But overall, I think it's been pretty smooth sailing for both of those guys fantasy-wise.
Do you think LeBron is going to sit sooner rather than later?
It's a good question, and I think one that a lot of people are asking themselves. But I think if the Lakers had reason to sit LeBron, they would. I just don't think LeBron is one of those guys who really sort of prides himself in that load management. I think their opportunities were there with this ankle injury a few games ago. He could have sat one down definitely, but he kept insisting that he was fine. And obviously his play shows that he's fine. So it's certainly possible, but it definitely didn't, you know, prevent me from selecting LeBron in the first round of my fantasy draft. So far, I'm absolutely thrilled with my decision.
And on the Memphis side, De'Anthony Melton made his season debut, logging 5 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 steal and a block in 16 minutes. He had a relatively quiet season debut in the until the fourth quarter when he blocked an AD jumper, which is crazy to think Melton would do something like that. Melton had been sidelined because of the COVID protocols, but he's back at it now. So hopefully he will get some time with Ja Morant out. If you're in deeper leagues, you might want to consider streaming him, though, before jumping the gun. And Jonas Valanciunas, the big fella, notched 13 points, 11 rebounds, was his 7th double-double in as many games this season. He has been on a rampage and has now scored at least 10 points and grabbed at least 10 rebounds in every single game. He added 2 assists, a steal, and a block to his stat line. He's averaging through those seven games 15 points, 11.7 boards in 29 minutes per contest. And, you know, whilst Triple J might affect his production when he comes back, I'd certainly be riding this wave while you can.
Absolutely. I mean, look, if you drafted him, you got to be thrilled. He's probably a guy I'd be looking to move on from before JJJ comes back, just because of the concerns that you express. And obviously Brandon Clark, who I referenced before, ain't going anywhere either. So I think that's a guy who you could probably sell high on. Not somebody I'd necessarily ride to the finish line, but yeah, he's been phenomenal to start. And you know, Memphis is going to have to continue to piece it together until Jaws is able to get back out on the court. So Dylan Brooks is a guy that I like too in Memphis, although, you know, his field goal percentage is going to give you a hit. It's going to be is what it is. There's going to be some nights where he's hot and some nights where he's not. I feel like Dylan Brooks is sort of what like Danny Green should be if Danny Green were like actually a lot better at basketball than he currently is. But that aside, I think Memphis is going to have to continue to approach it by committee. And, you know, JJJ will help. But again, just to reiterate the Brandon Clark point, I mean, that's a guy that you stick with. I know it's been a little bit frustrating how he's been used, but 12 points, 3 rebounds, 3 steals, a block for Brandon Clark. I mean, there are worse fantasy lines to put up, and guys stay on fantasy rosters with a lot less than that.
Very solid for Cats League, Roto Leagues from Brandon Clark today. Even points leagues, like it's a fairly solid stat line. And another guy who's been performing pretty well for the Grizz, Kyle Anderson, in 29 minutes, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. Shot 4 from 10 from the floor, 1 from 3 from deep. As well, only the one turnover for Kyle Anderson as well. So there's another one who should be owned in just about every league. Before we get to the next game, Happy New Year from our sponsor, Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, offering precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. And they are here to help you have clean balls in the new year and ring in the new year with right tools for the job. Manscaped are here to give you a New Year's resolution that you'll actually want to keep. The Perfect Package 3.0 is the below-the-waist grooming package you need to start off strong this year. Come out of quarantine with clean balls thanks to the Lawnmower 3.0. This waterproof, skin-safe trimmer will help reduce nicks to your two best friends. It's also time to freshen up down there with the Crop Preserver. It's an anti chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And for on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. Start the new year with a fresh set of testies thanks to Manscaped. Manscaped even throw in their shed travel bag to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. Speaking of comfort, the Manscaped anti-chafing boxer briefs are also included and will bring your underwear game to the next level. Bring sexy back in 2021. Get 20% off free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HOOPBALL20. New year, new balls. Ethan. The T-Wolves, 116, go down to a disappointing, underperforming Nuggets, 123. And I only say that because they're 3-4, and I think people expected the Nuggets to be a little bit better. But we'll start on the Timberwolves side. And D'Angelo, that dude, he got 33 points, 3 rebounds, 11 assists for a double-double, and 2 steals, 10 of 21 for 47.6% from the floor, 4 from 9 from deep, 9 from 10 from the charity stripe with 4 turnovers. D'Lo starting off magnificently well and taking this game by the scruff of the neck. Hernan Gomez got himself a start at power forward in 35 minutes, getting 25 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block in this contest as well. Shot 10 from 14 from the floor, 71%, 5 from 8 from deep as well for Hernan Gomez. A bit of time for starting at center for Ed Davis, who got 4 points, 6 boards, and Jarrett Culver in 22 minutes. Getting some time finally, 4 points, 6 rebounds, and just the 1 assist. The T-Wolves, D'Lo seems like he at least is brushed off that first game benching that he got to Ricky Rubio to take the point guard position for the Timberwolves by the scruff of the neck and running away with it. Rubio definitely on the backup now with virtually no overlap, Ethan.
Yeah, I mean, look, Rubio is, I guess it's a nice story, right? His homecoming to Minnesota, if you want to go that approach. But from a fantasy perspective, from a reality perspective, he's just not really making that impact there. And the T-Wolves are going to be miserable so long as Karl Anthony Towns is out of the lineup. I think the big surprise here was Juancho Hernan Gomez getting all that playing time, getting the start. He's obviously a guy who can continue to produce if that opportunity is going to be there with Cat out of the lineup. But this is all with an asterisk of Cat out of the lineup. And, you know, a guy that who has been playable, who saw just 10 minutes on the court tonight, was Naz Reid. So that's definitely a guy who, if you're relying on, I know I got him in a league or two. I'm probably going to be looking to drop him and move on. If he can only get 10 minutes with Karl Anthony Towns out in a game where the T-Wolves put up 116 points and they're playing Nikola Jokic, I think that's a sign. Jared Vanderbilt's an interesting name. He could put up little points, little rebounds, steals, and blocks, but you might be able to do better than that on your waiver wire.
And let's have a look at the Denver Nuggets side. And Nikola Jokic played 36 minutes, tallying 35 points, 12 of 20 from the field, 10 of 12 from the charity stripe, 15 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 1 block and 1 triple. There was some frustration early on for the Joker. Whistled for 2 technicals. One was for hanging on the rim, funnily enough. He ultimately had one of his best all-round games of the season so far. He posted a couple of triple-doubles, obviously, in the season, but, you know, they all came with high turnover counts. He was responsible for only 4 turnovers, 3 fewer than his tally that he had on Sunday over Minnesota. Look, he's one of the best players in fantasy basketball. Hopefully he can lower this turnover count. He can shoot some threes and then just become a total no-doubt stud in 9 cat leagues if you're going to include the turnovers, Ethan.
Yeah, I mean, look, it all starts and ends with the Jokic when it comes to the Nuggets, right? And the dude is just a monster, especially against a team that doesn't really have a good center option without Towns in the lineup. You know, this is a game where you knew he was going to feast. I think, you know, when it comes to DFS, I played in a lot of FanDuel lineups recently, but tonight, and DFS, you're talking about a guy who was 38% rostered in this tournament that I'm in. So it wasn't exactly a secret that he had a juicy matchup, but certainly took advantage of it. And the Nuggets are trying to right the ship here because the Western Conference playoff picture is pretty packed. And, you know, someone or multiple someones are going to get squeezed out. And the Nuggets don't want it to be them.
And look, MPJ sitting because of the COVID protocol certainly doesn't help them.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Jamal Murray's had a very up and down start to the season. Like today, only got himself 13 points, 1 rebound, and 3 assists. So that was, you know, somewhat disappointing. Campazzo, although, scored double figures for the second straight game, got 11 points, 3 of 7 from the field and 5 of 7 from the charity stripe with a rebound, 2 assists and 1 steal. He's an interesting one. There are better options when it comes to standard leagues, but he's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. I mean, look, when you're talking about opportunity, I think that's the biggest sort of thing that we want to look at when it comes to potential additions or waiver wire sort of manipulations is the path toward opportunity. So I think you make a great point toward what he could have there.
And a big smile's come on my face because the last game we're going to get to today has just ended. So that's good. Anyway, we'll get to that in just a minute. The next game, the Clips up against the Spurs, and the Spurs won 16 got one over the Clippers, 113. Interesting. Aussie Paddy, top scored for the Spurs, 27 points, one rebound, one assist, one steal. Shot 8 from 16 from the floor, 8 from 12 from deep, 3 from 4 from the charity stripe in a mammoth effort from Aussie Paddy Mills. Deontay Murray with no Derek White still because the Goose kicked himself in his surgically repaired toe. So that's not going to help anyone. But he got himself 21 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. 9 from 18, shooting 50% from the floor. 2 from 5 from deep, 1 from 1 from the foul line. And Keldon Johnson in 30 minutes, 9 points, 11 rebounds, just missed the double-double. 4 assists as well with 1 block. 4 from 11 from the floor, which somewhat disappointing, but I think he'll have better nights. 1 from 3 from deep and didn't have a crack from the free throw line. Let's start with the Spurs. And, you know, no Derek White. You know, no one knows his timetable to return now. How do you think they're going to continue rolling out? Is it going to be just a mirror of what they've done in the first few games without Derek White? Or do you think at some point Pop's going to change it up?
I mean, I really think ultimately it's going to depend on the directionality of the Spurs season, right? So, like, if we're 30 games into the season and the Spurs, they're definitely out of playoff picture and it looks like a sinking ship, so to speak, in terms of the record, I think that you're going to see more of those young guys getting mixed in. But I think you're already seeing so many of the young guys taking prominent roles, right? Keldon Johnson has become sort of the waiver wire, a late round pickup of the year so far. Lonnie Walker has stepped into the starting lineup without Derek White available. DeJounte Murray looks like he's ready to take the next step. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan, we barely even talk about when it comes to the Spurs at this point. It's really all about that next wave. So I think because Derek White, unfortunately, it looks like he's going to miss, you know, another extended period of time, which is a stinky development for my fantasy situations because I had some solid hopes for him as a late-round pick. I think anybody who, you know, dropped Lonnie Walker, I don't want to say regrets it, but probably a little bit premature, but it's hard to blame because it wasn't even premature, right? Derek White came back and played a game. He just aggravated the injury. It is what it is. So I think we'll continue to see more of the same from Pop. And, you know, I really like the trajectory for both Keldon Johnson and DeJounte Murray here as the fantasy season continues on.
And a shout out to Mr. J. We had a conversation yesterday around how you draft and when you draft and that sweet spot for guys in a particular age who are just consistent and do it time in and time out. They're not sexy names. I wouldn't even call them old man squad, Dan Bespris type guys. But DeMar DeRozan certainly fits into that kind of category. And if he fell in drafts and you picked him up, you'd be smiling. For whilst he's never really wowed anyone this season, not yet anyway, certainly been consistent.
Yeah, he has been. And I think, you know, as long as you're not expecting him to be the 20 point per night scorer on a regular basis, then you're probably feeling pretty good about it, right? Because he's getting you a handful of rebounds. He's been helping out on the assists, I think, a little bit more than anticipated. But that's a development we sort of saw from him last season. And I think this season, the big emphasis for DeRozan has been he's actually shooting and making some threes. So that's a nice welcomed wrinkle into his game that can only help his fantasy value if he can do it consistently.
And for the losing Clippers, Kawhi Leonard was the star. Oh, I have to preface this. Paul George did not play. He sat, something to do with an ankle. I think it's probably more a little, you know, game load management than anything. But Kawhi, 37 minutes, 30 points, 3 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals and a block, shot 13 from 22 from the floor, 1 from 3 from deep as well for him. Batum got himself 21 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Pat Beverly flirted with a triple-double with the start at point guard, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 blocks. He did extremely well. Serge Ibaka got 3 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks, missed both his shots from the free throw line. Lou Will got himself a, you know, stat box filling kind of night, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 from deep as well. And Zubac only got 18 minutes, which makes his value even less at this point. 2 points, 8 rebounds, though, in that time was pretty damn good. One steal to go with that. He shot 1 from 1 from the floor. The Clips, mate. Well, obviously, no Paul George, so the star of the night was Kawhi Leonard.
I think the biggest takeaway from this one is that, you know, obviously without PG, Kawhi's going to step up. But, you know, sort of a throwback night for Nick Batum, sort of a throwback night for Pat Beverly. And unfortunately, the Clippers sort of wasted a big night from all three of those guys in a close sort of nail biter with the Spurs here. But this is the type of game the Clippers really can't afford to lose, despite the fact that Paul George wasn't available. Just because the Western Conference is going to be so tight this year, the difference in a couple of games in the regular season could easily be the difference between the 3 and the 5 seed. And that's going to, even without the fans, it's going to make a big difference.
So, Ethan, you spoke before that you were a DFS kind of man.
I am.
Yeah. So that would suggest that maybe you like a bit of a bet. As I say, a bit of a flutter.
Do you get
asked for tips all the time?
Yeah, I mean, here and there. I think more, you know, when I worked day to day in the league, I think there were more people who tried to extract that level of information. Like, what do you think, right? You got any insight? I'm like, in the age of Twitter, we all know what's going on all the time, man. Like, what do you think? I'm holding out trying to be a millionaire over here? Like, I think I'd live a different lifestyle if I had the inside track into something. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, just be able to read the situations, balance both the data and sort of the emotional component of it, right? Like if a guy's coming home for a big homecoming or something like that. But, you know, just try to bet if you're going to make a wager, right? Try to bet with your head and not only with your heart, but at the same time, have fun with it because there's an entertainment value in it. So, you know, it's kind of like this, it's comparable advice that I often give when somebody's drafting a fantasy team is that, you know, you don't want to reach for guys who are 8th round picks in the 2nd round. But at the same time, you want to make smart, informed decisions about guys that you enjoy rooting for. So oftentimes in fantasy drafts, you know, if I have a guy ranked within 2 or 3 spots of each other, I'll take the guy that I enjoy rooting for a little bit more because that's going to be a more fun experience for me. But for the purpose of wagering, you know, just evaluate the data and make the informed decisions, but also have fun with it because if you're not having fun with it, then what are you doing to yourself?
Do you know what else is important? Who you're betting with.
Of course.
And mybookie.ag, their reputation is rock solid. They've got the best odds, best contests, great promotions in the business. They are the only place I trust to handle my NBA-related bets, none of which I go to you to ask me for any inside information. I work in it too, so I should know what's going on.
Appreciate that.
The one sportsbook guaranteed to give the best lines for the national championship college football game on January 11, Ohio State versus the Crimson Tide. I'm surprised Ohio State's there, but congratulations to them. And on every NFL playoff game that is about to start. You know me, you know that I don't give my stamp of approval too easily. To earn it, you've got to be the best at what you do, and MyBookie is the best sports book out there, period. It's simple. Sign up, enter the promo code HOOPBALL, and get your deposit matched halfway up to 1,000 smackaroos. Head to MyBookie if you want to add a little excitement to the sport you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best, bet with mybookie.ag, and please remember to gamble responsibly. The last game of the day. I don't think I've missed any, have I? No, I haven't. The last game of the day, my Chicago Bulls. It only just finished, so you're getting it hot off the press, this one. Defeated the, what are they now? 3-4, Portland Trailblazers. The Bulls are 4-4. Can you believe that?
I can't, but you know, it's a credit to Billy Donovan because it's been ugly in Chicago for an extended period of time.
So let's have a look at Chicago. We'll start there, and it's an interesting looking stat box. Otto Porter Jr., this guy has hit some form. He's hit the form that he found before he started getting a million bloody injuries. And I think he's going to continue to have value even when Larry Marketing comes back. But today, 28 minutes, 19 points, 13 rebounds, and an assist. He shot 7 from 14 from the floor and 4 from 7 from deep, 1 from 1 from the charity stripe as well. Only 2 turnovers. Kobe White had himself a bit of a day, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. He got 8 from 19 from the floor in 42%, which is probably a little bit better than what he's been doing, as much as we expect it to be even better than that. He got 2 from 7 from deep as well. Zach LaVine got himself 18 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 blocks. Wendell Carter Jr., 13 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal and a block, and 10 points, 8 rebounds for Thaddeus Young. An interesting, you know, sort of setup that Billy Donovan's had for the Bulls now that they've gotten rid of Jim Boylan. Thank you, Bulls organization, because he is dead set, had to have been the worst coach in Bulls history. But Billy Donovan has seemed to have made them a little bit of an offensive threat and with a little bit of a disregard for the defense. How is that translating with fantasy?
I mean, I think one of the biggest things, you know, for the Bulls is that Kobe White's getting on back on track, or on track, as you alluded to, right? I mean, he, after a slow start, you know, 21 and 10 boards with 5 assists in this game, but also, you know, Otto Porter has sort of reemerged to become a thing, looks healthy, is contributing. And I think the Bulls are playing right now with a spirit that, you know, they can beat other teams. And honestly, if you're the Bulls, what do you have to lose? Everybody thinks you suck, so you might as well go out there and give it your best and sort of try to reverse the narrative. And I think that's what, you know, Billy Donovan does well, right? He sort of develops a culture. He develops a team. I don't know that he's the coach to take the team to the next level necessarily, but this is what he does well. So I think it's a good fit in Chicago. And from a fantasy perspective, you know, you like Otto Porter if you're able to grab him late, or if you're even able to scoop him off the waiver wire. You like Kobe White if you drafted him, if you need a point guard sort of in the middle rounds there. So far, so good. And, you know, the Blazers were a team on the other end of that, who a lot of people, myself included, sort of praised this offseason for saying, hey, they had a pretty good offseason. They picked up Robert Covington, and Enes Kanter, who had some level of success, is back. You know, Zach Collins has been out and will be out. But Yusuf Nurkic came alive in this game, and unfortunately, you know, the Blazers take another loss. And, you know, if they can't figure it out, they could be one of those teams on the Western Conference sort of looking up when the regular season ends at the playoff picture going, what happened here?
And Enes Kanter coming out of the game late looked like he had a bit of some sort of an injury to his hand or his arm. He only had 2 points but 10 boards, 2 assists. But as you said, a bit of a breakout game. The buy low period on Nurkic is over, I think, after this now. 28 minutes, 12 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists and a block to go with 6 from 15 from the field, 0 from 2 from 3. But certainly, I think that is done and dusted for him. Rocco Robert Covington, 14 points, 6 rebounds, an assist, a steal and a block to go with 4 from 9 from deep. CJ McCollum continues to ball out. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 6 from 14 from deep. They went on an absolute tear to start this game, like 4 straight 3-pointers. It was ridiculous. And Dame, of course, 24 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 from 11 from deep, 6 from 17 from the floor. Would you, if you owned Nurk, would you, you know, now after one game go, you beauty, there's no more buy low?
I mean, I think, you know, Nurk is kind of what we thought he was, right? Like, I don't know that I'd be looking to sell high, so to speak, if I'm a Nurk owner, because this is what I've been waiting for. I don't think I'm looking to buy right now, because you're probably looking at paying a premium that you wouldn't have yesterday. So, you know, right now, this is kind of what we expected. And in Portland, you know, you feel good if you got Nurkic on your team at this point. You obviously like what you've seen from CJ. And you know, Lillard has been a bit of a slow start, I guess, for lack of a better way to say it, but he's come alive recently and been more Damian Lillard-esque. But outside of that, I mean, I know I got Robert Covington in a couple of spots. He hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire, and I don't know if there's really anyone else on this team that I feel comfortable having, including, you know, Gary Trent Jr. looked like the breakout star everybody wants him to be against my Lakers that one night, but outside of that, he's been pedestrian, would be generous, I would say.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Now, I've got some rankings open, and I'll put you on the spot. I haven't set any of this up. I'm going to give you a name, and I want you to tell me what round value, or roughly where you think they are currently ranked for Nine Cat. And so since we started with the Bulls, Otto Porter Jr.
And we're talking Nine Cat?
Nine Cat.
Oh, man.
And this is a per-game basis.
On a per game basis, what's he been like? Maybe like fifth or sixth round?
Yeah, absolutely. Bang. 62. That is smack bang, you know, fifth, sixth round. Perfect. Look at that. Yeah. That was clever. And that is, you know, well above value of where you were getting him in drafts. Absolutely. Who else was there? There was someone else that I had seen. Well, let's have a look. Keldon Johnson. He's been a star so far for the San Antonio Spurs. Very interesting. Where do you think he is ranked per game basis so far?
Nine cats, same format?
Yeah, absolutely.
Keldon's been phenomenal. I'm going to go aggressive. Has he been as high as fourth round?
You are on fire, my friend. Fourth round value, 45. Sneaking all, oh, very so close to a third round per game value anyway.
Which I swear to God, we didn't plan this. I swear to God.
And let's go to the Portland side. A guy who everyone has been taking in the first round, or most have, maybe the second round at worst, Damian Lillard.
Oof. This one's going to go the reverse way. Second round pick, but he's probably been like, he got off to a bit of a tough start there. And we're talking nine cats, so turnovers are factored in. Man, has he been as bad as seventh round?
Not quite. Per game basis, okay. Only in the third round. He's currently ranked 31.
Okay, I thought you were going to do me dirty on that one. I thought you were going to go way low. But you know what? I mean, it makes sense. I mean, look, especially on the per-game basis because he got off to a little bit of a slow start in the first game or two. So I could get into that. You know Lillard's going to finish as a top 25 guy. And, you know, the only thing that I'm concerned about is he may not give you the return if you drafted him like ninth or 10th overall, which is probably at or where near you had to draft him to get him on your team.
Now, before we head out of here, Ethan, mm-hmm. You do a waiver wire show with our friend Kingy, fellow Aussie.
Sure do. Sure do.
Do you want to tell people how they can get to see that and what's involved in that waiver wire show on a Sunday night?
Absolutely. So for me, it's actually Sunday, like midday. It's 1 o'clock Pacific time. So we'll have to convert that to Aussie land time. I'm not sure that I have the math in my temporal lobe to be able to convert that at this time as we do this, but nonetheless, Adam and I get together for an hour live show for our premium users. We answer any questions that come through the Discord as it relates to your team, to the waiver wire. We take live questions on the air via YouTube. You can watch on YouTube, and we actually throw your questions right up on the screen. So it's an hour. It's a good time. We now both wear a basketball jersey, so you'll come for
the
advice.
Do you rotate the basketball jersey?
I mean, well, the first week, you know, Adam sort of blew me out of the water with a coffee black jersey from the Flint Tropics, if you're familiar. So, you know, he really sort of stunned me with that, with the semi-pro jersey. So I had to come back strong in week two. Adam debuted his Brian Scalabrine USC jersey, legendary. I came at it with the Alex English Rainbow Nuggets jersey. So you'll never know what next week holds up, but it could be an OJ Mayo Grizzlies jersey. Just saying.
I'm going to have to throw Adam a Illawarra Hawks LaMelo Ball jersey.
There you go. There you go. I wouldn't mind absorbing one of those into my collection.
Oh, man. So premium subscribers, that's the Fantasy Pass, any sort of premium subscription through HoopBall. So go to hoop-ball.com. On top of that, you're active in the Discord as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still sort of navigating my way through there. So, you know, the best way, if you want my attention, definitely just actually mention me by name and I'll be sure to get back to you. But it's a cool place for the community to sort of hang out with each other and, you know, bounce advice off of one another. And we try to make sure everybody gets sort of their questions answered. We want to make sure everybody has the best level of service and attention to detail on their teams because we know the stakes in play beyond just bragging rights alone. So definitely get jump in the Discord. Another great benefit of being on the premium side, and for the cup of price of a cup of coffee, basically, it really makes all the sense in the world. Especially if you're an invested fantasy GM and you got 10 teams all with money on the line, you don't want to make the wrong moves.
Ooh, you're not wrong about that. Now the NFL's over, I've got to try and switch myself to the baseball at the same time as doing this. So God help me with that one. And mate, if they want you to hit you up on Twitter, how do they do that?
Absolutely. You can hit me up on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff, N-O-R-O-F. So just my name, first name, last name, separated by an underscore.
Oh, man. Thanks heaps for joining us. You're going to be somewhat semi-regular every fortnight or so, from what Mr. J tells me. He's the talent booker in the partnership between the two of us.
Oh, yeah, that's how we do it. I mean, look, we try to give the people what they want. We're here to inform and entertain, so I'm happy to be a part of it anytime you guys will have me.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We'll chat to you soon. Mr. J will be back in a couple of days. You can find him on Twitter. Hit him up. He's pretty active on there, at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. You can find me on Twitter at TheHarlander23. This has been the Box Score Breakdown for your slate of games for the 5th of January 2021. A HoopBall presentation. Thanks for joining us. I am Scotty. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. A massive slate of games as well. Till then, g'day, have fun.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.